Today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Dalid. Thank you very much for coming. And we begin with the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The first topic that today's daf is going to discuss is the issue of added value. If one of the sons takes the assets of father, they haven't yet been divided amongst the brothers, and he takes a piece of it and adds value to that piece, do we say that that appreciation, that added value is his? Or do we say, oh, by definition, since they haven't divided, it belongs to all of the children? Excellent. He didn't, yeah, it was the assets money. He didn't, you put in his own money. He went, but he put in the effort before they could divide up the assets. So let's begin the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Hiniach banim. A man dies leaving over assets, and he leaves over children, gedolim uktanim, older sons as well as younger sons. And they have yet to divide up the assets. And the older sons go and they improve the value of the assets. They, let's say father left over, 100 bars of soap. The older boys go, they take these 100 bars of soap, they travel to another, out of the 100 bars of soap, let's say they take 30. They travel to another place and they sell them for a nice profit. So they've improved the assets. Do they get to keep that improvement? No. Hishbichu la'emtza. That improvement gets divided up amongst all the brothers equally. It's considered that the estate improved, so now it gets divided up equally. However, if the older brothers made a declaration that they are dividing up the assets. Im Amru, if they said, Umashiniach Abba, they said either in front of witnesses, or in front of a court, or in public, they said, look at all these things that Father has left for us. We want, and we are ready to divide it up. We'll get our portion, you'll get your portion. And if you're not going to divide it, Hare Anu Osim, V'ochlim, we are going to improve the value. We're not going to wait around. We're going to go out to work. But we are going to eat for ourselves that improvement. We're going to improve the value, but that's going to be our own gain. So then, if they go out and they improve it, if they had already said that they want to divide, then ishbichu la'atzman, then that improvement is theirs, and it doesn't belong to the other brothers. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, so the first case is older brothers with younger brothers. So the Mishnah says, if the older brothers jump, do business with the assets and increase the value, so that's something that the whole estate gains. They don't get that added improvement. But if before they went out to work, they said, listen, we are ready to divide up. These are the assets Father left us. We want a division. And, you know, if you're dragging your feet, we're going to go to work anyway. But, by the way, whatever we do, whatever gains we produce, those are our gains. So then if they go out and they add value, so they keep for themselves the share of the added value. V'cheina isha, and the same would be true if we were dealing with a woman. Let's say a woman inherits. She's bicha sanachasim. If she improves the value of the assets, yishbichal emtza, that improvement goes to all those people who are inheriting, not just to her, and they share equally in that improvement. Correct. And now we have a third case. If you have a widow whose husband leaves to her an inheritance. If you have a widow who gets from her husband, and there are also children who are getting, Imram Rav, she says, Uma sheni achli bali, see what husband left for me. I'm willing to divide it up. You're not rushing to divide it. All right. I'm going to improve its value, but vocheles, I'm going to keep that improvement to myself. I'm going to eat that improvement. Then if she improves it, it's only for her, and it doesn't go to everyone. Okay, so let's go back to the very first case. The very first case of the Mishnah is, if you have a person who dies, leaving over lots of assets, and lots of kids, older kids and younger kids, the older boys go out and do business with the assets to improve their value. So then that improvement is not exclusively the possession of the older boys. It belongs to the whole estate. They divide up that improvement the same way they divide up the underlying asset. However, if the older boys said, we're ready to divide, we want to divide, we want our share. You take your share, we'll take our share. Oh, you're dragging your feet. Oh, we're not waiting. We're going to go out and put in money, but whatever we put in, we're going to eat. So then whatever they add to the value, they get to keep that addition only for themselves.
Rabbi, no talk about losses here? No consideration for losses?
Then you wouldn't have them saying that we want it only for ourselves.
No, but in the former case, they go out and they
invest and it doesn't work.
Presumably will have a similar law, right? On their amounts, since they wanted a division, and they were offering a division, on their amounts, they have to bear their own losses.
But what about the former one, the first one, where they go out and they improve it and everybody shares?
Well, I think you have to judge each case, you know, on its own. Yeah.
I'm sorry, last year there we learned about the tinochen or no lam.
Okay.
In case like this, I didn't see after the father died,
right.
He's one of the Achim?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he's one of the brothers. As long as he's a son of the father, yes. Okay. Amar Rav Chaviva, Breid Rav Yosef, Breid Rav Mishmei de Rava, Rav Chaviva, the son of Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, said in the name of Rava, Lo Shanu, this law that if the older brothers improve the assets, the improvement is divided up amongst all. When they use their father's money to improve their father's asset. But if they put in their own money to improve the assets, then even though they didn't offer to divide, certainly they gain that improvement. Ask the Gemara, Aini, is that so? Hi, Vam, Reb Chanina, Reb Chanina said, Afilu lo iniach lem avien, Ela ujaina, even if what their father left was a well, and people come and rent this well to get water from it for their fields, and the older brothers jump, and they start renting it out first. Haschar lemtza, that gain is divided up amongst all of them. Now, how do you get a gain from a well? The gain from the well is that those brothers who are renting it out have to stand there to collect from the customers. So if they're collecting, that's the equivalent of their own asset, being their own money being spent to get improvement, right? It's their efforts, it's their time, it's their money that's going and getting new money. So they are putting in their own. So why should it be divided amongst all, according to you? The Gemara says, no. Shainu, Dino, when we talk about renting out a well, how do you collect money from the well? How do you gain from it? Linatirusu Davida. The only thing is, you have to watch it. You have to watch it and make sure that everybody who uses it pays. Therefore, afilu ktanim nami matzim minshulu. Even younger brothers could do that. So therefore, since the younger brothers could have done that, they can tell the older brothers, we didn't need you, we could have done it ourselves. And therefore, what you did, that gain should be divided up equally amongst us all. But What we're saying here is if the older brothers, you know, put in their own money into a field and now get a better crop, so then we don't say that the younger brothers share in that. Rather, we say, no, that added addition goes to the older brothers. It was their money. When do we say that the younger brothers have an equal share? It's when it's not the older brother's money that's creating the improvement, but it's the estate's money that creates the improvement, but the older brother's time. Then we say everybody gets an equal share. Mm-hmm. Then, important point.
So if the estate is created, it doesn't really matter if the father is still alive while this is taking place, or we expect to
wait. No, we're saying it's after he died, but before they've actually divided up.
And if he's still alive, then it's a totally different case?
If he's still alive, it's the father's money. It's the father's asset. So now, the Mishnah then continued and said, Amru, if the older brothers said, Rumashi niachaba, they say to the younger brothers, look at all the things that father left over. We're ready to divide up. And if you're not going to divide with us, so we're going to act as if you divided. Areyanu osim, we're going to go do some work. But whatever we add, we are going to eat that improvement. So Ishbichu, if they in fact add, La'atzman, they get to keep that improvement. Now a story. Rav Safra Shavak Avua Zuzi. Rav Safra, his father left him money. Shaklinu, Rav Safra took the money. V'avad Behu Iska. And with that money, he did business. He went into business with someone. So again, Rav Safra had brothers. Asu Achi, the business succeeded. So the brothers came. They demanded him to a court case in front of Rava, saying, okay, you need to give us an equal share in the gains. Amalu Rav Safra. So Rava said like this. Rav Safra Gavar Rabahu. Rav Safra is a great man. He's very immersed in Torah. He's very devoted to learning Torah. Lo Shavak Girse. He's not going to leave his review of learning, the Tarach Lachrina, to work for others. If we went out to work, that's the equivalent of him saying, listen, let's all divide up. I'll put in effort, and whatever effort I put in, I'm keeping those for myself. All right, then the Mishnah went on to talk about a woman. Aisha sheish bichas anachasim, a woman who improves the value. So that's an improvement that gets shared amongst all the individuals. Gemara asks, Isha b'nichsa yasmi ma'avidite, how is a woman a partner in assets with other heirs? A woman doesn't inherit her husband. So how is she a partner? Amr Rabbi Yirmi answered, b'isha yoreshes. We're talking about a woman who does inherit. So what would be some scenarios? The Rashbam explains. Let's say her husband explicitly said that. He said, I'm gifting to my wife that she's going to get a share of the inheritance like the boys. Or if she was the daughter of the brother of her husband, and the husband did not have sons. So then when he dies, his money goes to his father, and his father's dead. So then it goes from the father to his brothers. So she's the daughter of his brother, of one of the brothers. So she gets the share of her father, together with the other brothers, with her uncles. Or it could be a case of a woman who inherited her father, together with her sisters. So she inherits, and there are other heirs here, sisters. Or her father had no sons and he died. And now, when her father's father dies, she inherits his assets together with the uncles, the brothers of her father. So you can have a situation where a woman inherits and there are other heirs who are also inheriting. So the Mishnah says, if she improves the assets, that improvement is shared by everyone. So Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious, it's the same halacha. What's the difference if it's a woman, if it's a man? The very point of the Mishnah was, if one of the members of the estate improves the value of the estate, but there had never been a discussion of division, then that improvement is shared by everybody equally. So what's the difference if it's a girl doing it, or if it's an older brother doing it? So Gemara explains why I have to tell you, even if it's a girl doing it. So now the Talmud would have to say, like this last law that we learned about Rav Safra. Came to Lav Darkul Mitra. It's not normal for a woman to go out in business and to be busy with it. It's not the usual way for her to have that effort. So therefore, Afa Gavzalo Parish, even if she didn't say explicitly, I'm only going and improving the value for myself. Kimo de Parish Dami, it's as if she said it. Like we said with Rav Safra. We said Rav Safra didn't have to say to his brothers, I'm going out to improve it for myself. Because since he's a great Torah scholar, busy learning, so therefore, it's not. We all understand that he's not going to go out and work for other people for their gain. So therefore, that would have felt the same as true with a woman. It's not true with a woman. And if a woman improves the value, it's like an older brother improving the value, and that improvement goes to older brothers unless there was an explicit specification. I'm ready for division. I want division. Whatever I improve is only for me, for my share, and not for everybody else. Then the Mishnah went on to say, V'im Amra, but if a wife said, Rumashin Yachli Bali, see what my husband left for me, I want to divide up. If you're not willing, if you're dragging your feet, you're not rushing to divide up, I'm going to improve it, and I'm going to keep that improvement for myself, or any Osevo Cheles, then Ishbichala Atzma. And whatever gain she improves is only for herself. So it's not the same case as the case we just had. Because the case she just had was a woman who inherited together with other heirs. This is the case of a wife, that her husband left her an inheritance. And she says to the orphans, listen, I'm going to be busy with this inheritance that's my share, and I want to, you know, keep that profit that I'm going to gain now by my busyness, by my efforts. So the Gemara explains what's the point here. Pshita, it's obvious. There's a woman who has a wife who's getting a share in the assets, which she could take from the assets the money for her ksuba. So, and their children who have a right to the assets because they inherit parts of the assets. So, of course, if she says, listen, I'm ready to divide up already, but whatever gain I produce is now only going to be for me because you're not dividing up, that she should be able to do that. So Gemara says, no. Ma'al d'tem would have thought to say, kivin d'shvichol ha'milsa, da'amri katarche kamayasmi, since it's good for her reputation that people say about her, look at her, she goes and she works, and even after her husband died, she's improving the value of the assets for the gain of her children. So achule achla, that means that she's forgiving the added gain. Kamashman, it's the Mishnah teaches us that, no, that she's not forgiving the added gain. She's saying, I want the gain for myself. She wants the gain for herself. And we don't say that she changed her mind once she went out to work because there's a reputational advantage that people say about her. She's so generous. She's so good. She did business. No, she said, I'm going to do it, but only for myself. That means it's only for herself. All right. Reb Chanina said, there is a law of building a home for a child. It's called Beit Chatnut Livno. It used to be that when a boy got engaged, so there was a kiddushin, and then he was to work to put together the money for the wedding. Meanwhile, his father would spend the year to build for the couple a house. Sometimes it was a small house. It was just another room, an add-on to the house of the parents. But he would build a house for the children, and the wedding would take place in that house. The chuppah would be in that house, and they would keep that house. So now our Gemara is going to talk about what about all sorts of scenarios where the father didn't explicitly say, this is a house that you can keep, but there's reason to interpret that that's what's going on because the chuppah is being put together in this house of the father. So what type of silence and scenario would make us believe that the father is gifting the house to the couple? Reb Chanina said like this. Hamasi isha livno gadol, a man who marries a woman off to his oldest son, bebayis, in a house that he owns. Kna'o, the son owns the house. as if he put the chuppah in this house, and it's his oldest son, he's so happy to marry off his oldest son, then we are sure that he's gifting the house to the son. The Dafka Gadol, it's only the first marriage, the oldest son. But if it's not the oldest son, he's not so happy, then you can't be so sure that he's giving the house to him. And even the oldest son, Dafka Psula, only when he's marrying off the oldest son to a virgin. So there's a lot of excitement and joy, not if he's marrying him off to a widow. The Dafka Ishta Rishona, and also it had to be his first wife that he's marrying. The Dafka Sheisio Rishon, it has to be that he is the first child to be married off. Chita, now it's pretty clear that Yichid Lo Aviv Bayis V'Aliyah, if the father puts the chuppah in a house that has a ground floor and an upstairs apartment, a two-family house, so Bayis Kana, the son acquires the lower level. Aliyah Lo Kana, doesn't acquire the upstairs. What happens if Bayis V'Aksadra? It's a house that has a portico in front of it. In front of it, there is an area with lots of pillars and people walk in and out. And through that, they get into the house. So, Mao, do we say that the son gets the house and the portico? Or do we think that the portico is something separate from the house? He doesn't get it. Let's say it's a house that has two, you know, rooms, an outer room and an inner room, or two apartments, an outer apartment and an inner apartment. Now, what's the halacha? In these cases, teku, we don't know. So again, Rav Chanina taught that if a man marries off his oldest son, and it's the first wedding that he's making, and he puts it in a house that he owns, he's giving the house to the son. Meisve, the Bnei Yeshiva challenged Rav Chanina, we learned in a braisa, Yichid lo aviv bayis, if the father dedicates a house for the wedding, uklei bayis, and there are house utensils inside of it. Klei bayis kana, the child gets the house utensils. Bayis lo kana, he doesn't get the house. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said that case in the braisa where we say that the father didn't give the house to the son, is kagon chayot zara shalev munach sham, where the father is still using the house as a storage area. So since he's using it for his own usage, then he's clearly showing that he's not giving the house to the son. Naradai Amri, Naradai said, in terms of what type of usage of a father would be enough to show that he's keeping the house for himself, afilu shovka diyoni, even if he has some pigeons there and a pigeon dove coat. Some doves and a dove coat there. Rav Yudav Rav Papa Amri, afilu atzitza d'harsana. He has barrels filled with herring. That's already a sign that he's keeping the house for himself, because he has his herring barrels there. And Marzutra, in fact, Ansava Lebrei, he married off his son in a house of his, the Talalei Sandala, and he hung a sandal in the house, and that was enough to show he's still using the house for himself, and he's not giving his son the house. Ravashi Nazmi Lebrei, Ravashi married off his son in his house, the Talalei Ashisha de Mishcha, and he hung in the house a cup of oil, that, you know, periodically he would take from to smear, to put on ointment, and that was already enough of a sign to show he's keeping the house to himself. Amar Marzucha said, Hani Klasmini, these three halachos, Shavina Rabbanan, these are rabbinic enactments, and even so, it's so strong, it's Kehilchos HaBli Taima. It's treated as if these are halachos L'moshe Misina that you can't even question what the reason is. These are like traditions. Chadaha, one is this reason, this law, that a father who makes a house, makes a wedding for his son in one of his houses, we say he's giving the house to the son. He didn't try to shtar matana, right? The son didn't do an act of chazaka. These are not the normal ways of acquisition. The rabbi said it belongs to the son. The fact that he made the wedding there means that it belongs to the son. Idach, another enactment of the rabbis, some review them are Shmuel. We saw earlier, Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, HaKosev Kol Nechasav LeIshto. Even if a man writes that he's gifting everything he owns to his wife, he doesn't mean it. All he means is that he wants his children to give his wife respect, and Lo Asayel Apotrop, he's making her the executive in charge of running the assets. And that way they'll need her help, and therefore they'll give her respect. Idach, the third halacha, Damar Rav said, Manali Biyadcha, if a person goes to his friend, I go over to Reuven, I say, Reuven, listen, you have 100 that you're supposed to give to me. I deposit it with you to watch, or you borrow it from me. But instead of you giving it to me, it's Nail the Plone, give it to Yaakov. The Maimon Shlashtim, and Reuven, Yaakov, and I are all here. Kana Yaakov acquires it. Again, this is a strange thing, right? I didn't write out a shtar. He didn't pick up the coins. How does he acquire them? But again, this was an enactment of the sages, and it's like a law that has no reason. It works. All right, now starting Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah. Achin Ashutfin. Brothers who are partners because they've inherited the estate of father. Shanaf Alechem En Lumnus. And one of them falls into a good job. Let's see, the Gemara is going to explain what's a good job. A good job is to work for the IRS, to collect money. The government used to give people, you know, from prominent families, they would go house to house and say, okay, you're a good family here. People listen to you guys. All right, you guys have the right to collect the taxes and you get to keep a part for yourselves. So if a brother got that, so now that gain is really because of the whole family. So then Nafal Emtsa, so whatever profits he gets from collecting the taxes gets shared by everybody in the estate. However, chalav and esrape, if a brother gets sick and he had to spend money to heal himself, then esrape mishal atzmo, that he can't take from the estate, he has to pay for his healing on his own. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a braisa, hi, umnes, what type of a good job are we talking about? Umnes amelech, we're talking about a good job, namely to work for the king, collecting taxes. Because really, it's the family name that's getting him the job. So any of the brothers could have gotten the job. His father would have gotten the job had the father been alive. So therefore, it's really the household that's getting the job, and the gain should be shared by all the members of the family who are heirs. Tanur Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a braisa, Echad min ha'achim, one of the brothers, Shemino Gabai, that the kingdom, that the king appointed to be a tax collector. Opumustus, or they appointed him to be a patrolman, a policeman. If it's based on all the brothers, in other words, because the rule in this place is that they go house to house and they take from a house a guy to do government work. So then la'achin, and all the brothers share in it. However, but if he got the job because he's extra smart, then li'atzmo, and that gain from that job belongs to him. It doesn't belong to the whole estate. If he got the job because he's, you know, one of the brothers, then the gain goes to all the brothers. Shita, that's pretty obvious. It's the Gemara Lo Tzricha we're talking about. Decharif Tfei, where that brother was very smart also. So now the Tema, then I would have thought, Chorfei Garimle, since he's very smart, probably the reason why the government took him was because he was very smart, and therefore he should keep the gains. Kamash 1, that's what the Braisa teaches us, that since the government didn't say explicitly that they're taking him because he's smart, so then we assume he was taken because most people who are getting these jobs are getting it because a person from the family is getting the job. So he's getting it as a member of the family. So since he got the privilege as a member of the family, so the gain is to be shared by all the members of the family. Tanur Rabbanan and our sages taught us in a braisa, Echem and Achin, if one of the brothers who's inheriting from father, Shenat al Masayim Zuz, who takes 200 Zuz from the estate, Lilmo Torah, to go learn Torah, to pay the teacher, O Lilmo Umnis, or to learn a profession, the other brothers can tell him, if you're living with us and the gain from your profession is going to be for all of us, then you can also take food. But if you're not going to be with us, you're going to go work somewhere else and not share with us your gains, then you no longer are entitled to food from the estate. You now have a job. Go get food from the wages from your job. The Gemara says, why? Who cares whether he's in the home or not in the home? Wherever he is, let them send him money for food. This is the proof to Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna says, The more people that are in the house, the more bracha Hashem sends to the house. So therefore, if he's living in the house, the whole house is going to gain because he's there, because it'll make it more people in the house. Therefore, they can say, okay, you're causing a gain, you'll also get a share. But once he left the house, they're causing a loss of how much parnasa the house is going to get. So they say, okay, you caused us a loss, so now you need to go provide for yourself. So the Gemara says, v'leis v'leis l'fi birkas habayis. So let them just figure out how much of a loss they're suffering because he's not there and he's not helping them out. And that should be the amount that they subtract from the food that he needs. So the Gemara says, Al-Hanami, that's exactly the case. It's just subtracting from the food. Yeah, he's making money also by teaching Torah. Then the Mishnah said that if one of the brothers, Chala, one of the brothers got sick, v'nisrape, and he paid money to heal himself, nisrape, mishal atzmo, he needs to cover those health expenses, and he can't take from the estate. Shalach Ravin Mishmed Rabbi La, Ravin sent a question, or halacha in the name of Rabbi La, Lo Shanu, this law is only true, Ela Shechala Bipshia, if his getting sick was through his own negligence, his own fault. I will be honest, but if he gets sick in some act of God that's out of his control, Nisrapi Min Emtza, then all of the members of the estate need to pay for his healing. Hey, Chidam B'Pshia, what's the case of him getting sick through his own fault? It's the Gemara of Rebbe Chanina. That's like what Rebbe Chanina taught us. No one needs to get a cold. You could always wear a coat. Tam Rebbe Chanina, Kol Bidei Shamayim. Everything that happens in life is from God. Chutz mitzin mupachim, except for chills and shivers. Shenamar, the verse says, tzinu mupachim ederech ikesh. Chills and shivers are through the crooked path. Shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. A person who wants to watch his soul should stay away from them. In other words, if you watch yourself, you won't get a cold. So a cold is the fault of the son who got the cold. So therefore, he has to pay for the medical expenses of that out of his own money. But a non-cold, some other illness, cancer, chas v'shalom, or something else, that the entire estate would cover those medical bills. Okay, so the Mishnah now is going to talk about a topic that we no longer do. It's called Shushbinus. Shushbinus was the norm of how they would act in weddings. A friend of mine would come to my wedding. He would bring me a gift. And that would be viewed basically as a loan. When he would then get married, I would have to go to his wedding and give him an equal-sized gift. So now we're applying the concept of Shushbinus, these loans through gifts, in regards to a father who dies and leaves over assets to his children. So the following case. Ha'achin sha'asu mikza shushbinus b'chaye ha'av. Brothers who do, or some of them do, sha'asu mikzas, and some of them did shushbinus. Some of them were sent by their father to weddings with gifts. So now, chazos shushbinus, when those brothers who had gone to weddings, when they get married, the weddings that they went to now come back to them with gifts, chazol emtza, those gifts have to be shared with the entire estate, with all the brothers. Shushbinus, nigbis bevesdin, because this gift back that has to come back is a regular loan. It could be collected by a court, so it's like a loan that's owed to the father. Avala sholeach l'chaveiro kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. But if a person just sends a gift, not a shushbinus gift, it's not part of a wedding. It wasn't that his friend was getting married. He just sent barrels of wine or barrels of oil. So he's not participating, or it could even be a wedding gift, but he doesn't come to participate in the wedding gift. That's in the wedding itself. That's not considered the ways of shushbinus. Therefore, if later that person who got the gift sends a gift back, but by now the father's not alive, it's only children, a nigus v'bezdin, that wasn't a gift that could have been collected in court. Ipnei sheng milus chasadim, that's just, you know, people being nice to each other. So if it's just people being nice to each other, that does not get shared amongst all the heirs, and rather the lucky recipients of the gifts get to keep the gift. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Es Yisrael, Leficha Chibalem, Tzoro Mitzvot, Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz, Aman Tzidko, Yagdil, Tzorav Yadir.